Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Why Is Mr. Phineas Carr, this millennial's TV guided tour through the action television of yesteryear. Today, we're taking a journey back into the Pan-African lovin', evil science studying, crap shooting, evil hoff butt bootin' world of Knight Rider. I'm Jay McCain. With me, as always, is my brother from another mother, Aaron. How you doing, Aaron?
Outstanding intro, Jay. I'm doing great. I'm trying to match your energy tonight. I got the V-neck pulled down low for the David Hasselhoff respect. I got the mirrored sunglasses. Yeah.
We got some good views of his whatever you call that area on the man.
Pelt. The Hoff pelt.
I wonder if he ever was in Playgirl.
Huh.
Because famously, Tom Selleck was.
Burt Reynolds was?
Burt Reynolds. Same guy to me in my brain. They occupy the same space. Same. Do you have any actors or actresses like that? For me, also Sandra Bullock and Julia Roberts are like the exact same person in my mind.
Yeah, like Amy Adams and Isla Fisher. They're the same person.
I'll take your word for that.
They're the same person. And then you've also got Dermot Del Rooney and McDermott Del Rey. Those guys are the same, I think.
They seem to have the same name also.
Rooney McDermott. Mulvaney Rooney. Yeah.
Nailed it.
That's the same person.
So today we watched season 2 episodes 1 and 2 of Knight Rider Goliath. Well, not today, but that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I had a great time with this. My love of Knight Rider is no secret, and it was just great to be back in the universe. But there were some changes that I was not a fan of. Casting issues. What the hell was going on back in your day when they were like, I guess they could just be like, nope, sorry, you're not on the show anymore.
Yeah, you're not sexy enough in a jumpsuit. We're going to replace you with someone that we have deemed through our polling to be sexier because that's what the show.
Strong disagree.
Dude,
in general.
7-year-old me was on your fucking team. I have vivid memories of seeing this episode of television for the first time. Uh-huh. At the midpoint, I think I might have bawled because I was so afraid that Kit and Michael were, because like, how would they live through that? How the fuck would they live through that? And it's interesting to see things because I misremembered a couple of things, which I'll be talking about. And also just like how just truly magical the show has gotten in the second season, where it's like Kit can just warp time and space and see through solid matter and manipulate dice at distance. He's got half the powers of the Ian M. Banks, the Culture series.
I wonder if, like, did we miss something where a magical genie was installed in his carburetor or something? Because he has...
In season 1, episode 17, Kit accidentally ran over a lamp, and he's now inhabited by a benevolent djinn.
Michael, a genie lives inside me now.
He's so happy that my glove compartment is spacious. He'll grant me unlimited wishes.
So I had a great time watching this.
The other thing is, like, I had all these memories of, like, Michael Knight, or, you know, like, David Hasselhoff playing evil Garth. Because Garth makes a lot of return. At least one, I think, maybe two or three more. That this is just kind of like a stupid thing. That it's a, like a, and it, like, okay, wait a second. I might be making the case too far in the other direction. It's not a stupid thing. But he actually puts a performance into it. He definitely turns up the intensity. He's got whole different persona.
Yes.
Like, you can tell by just looking and listening to him that he's Garth or he's Michael. Mm-hmm. Regardless of who he's, because they dress up as each other, which is a fun little thing too.
That's true. Like, yeah, I said, he's a flip flop.
I don't know if he does a great job. I don't know if he knocks it out of the park, but it's definitely, he's definitely hitting a double, and I appreciate that. You know, you're still trying here. You've had a runaway successful first season. You're back in the second season, and you're really swinging for the fences. You're trying crazy new shit, molecularly bonded semis, running over Kit. Love it.
Remember when David Hasselhoff had that little incident with the cheeseburger that got recorded on the bathroom floor?
Vaguely. Is this
Do you think he ever was tempted to be like, that was Garth? That was not me. Clearly that was
Garth
Hasselhoff Garth.
With an E. That's the other thing. Garth is spelled with an E. It's Garth, just like you think it is, and then with an E. What kind of pretentious bullshit is that?
Garthy. I did not catch that.
Yeah, it's Garth with an E. Garthy. But do you want to talk about, like, do you want to dispense all the big topics, or do you want to take them as they come? Because the other one, obviously, is the Bonnie outrage.
Okay, let's take it as we come. This is going to be a long one anyway, since this was a two-parter. Yeah. So let's get into the meat.
All right. We're going to start the episode. Obviously, intro, flawless, 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to stop the front. Knight Rider is the best theme song.
Oh, yes!
I do think Airwolf and Dukes of Hazzard are in my second place for sure, though.
I mean, it's almost hard to compare Dukes because it's so different.
It's different, but it's good. I like the Dukes theme song.
I agree. I'm okay with that.
So after the credits, we see a blonde man. He's snooping around a fulfillment center in a desert. We see a fancy man in a fancy car get out with a fancy cane. We don't see his face.
Oh, right. Yeah, which is actually kind of a callback to the pilot
It sure as shit is. The blonde man sneaks inside. He's got a camera. And this looks for all the world and probably is a drywall warehouse. It just has sheets of drywall just stacked up everywhere. But it's also an African warlord's base in America.
Right.
He takes pictures of various things. He's seeing crates full of presumably military
gear.
It's
totally just drywall.
It is. It's just drywall. He takes pictures of the drywall and the crates of what we'll later understand are missiles, and the grill of what we'll later understand is a behemoth tractor trailer named the Goliath. While he's doing this, what is revealed to be Garth Knight steps out with his goofy bracelet and necklace and his ice cream suit. He's got a cane gun.
You think this was goofy? I think it was a cool look. I mean, I feel like back then it wouldn't have been considered goofy, right?
It's definitely a little Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear.
Yeah, a little pimp off of Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, okay.
You know? It's got a lot of flavor, though. It's got a lot of flavor. Also, this man's greatest marksman in the world. He,
right,
with a gun with no sights, he does not bother to look down the barrel, and he closes his eyes before he squeezes the trigger and hits this guy, kills him. Amazing. That's a trick shot.
That's true. I mean, we don't know for sure that shot is actually what kills him.
True.
Maybe later some of the goons showed up and were like, we're just going to finish him off for you, boss.
Yeah. This, well, What do we think of Garth? We talked about a little bit about what we think of Hoth as the Garth man. But I can't get over the name. How were Garth? These coked up television writers like, okay, we're going to have the ultimate villain for Michael Knight. We're going to actually kind of retcon things a little bit to make this fit. Okay, guys, name. We got Michael Knight. That's a strong name. Who are we going to oppose? Garth? Garth is what came out of that room?
Was Garth cool for a minute? You have Garth Brooks, you have Garth from Wayne's World, who I guess was kind of a spaz, right?
Yeah.
But cool in a not trying to be cool way.
Yeah.
I don't know. They did. Garth Brooks went on to have his own alter ego with a different facial hair. Do you think that is what inspired the whole?
Oh my god. What was his name?
I can't remember.
Was it not Chris Gaines? Chris Isaacs? No, those are actually legitimate people. Garth Brooks, alter ego.
I thought it was something.
Oh, it's Chris Gaines.
Gaines.
It's right. It's Chris Gaines. It would have been hilarious if he called himself Michael Brooks.
Michael Brooks.
Why? It was right there, dude. You got the goatee. Oh, he should have been Michael Brooks.
He should have. What was he thinking?
Yeah, I don't know about the name. I wish they'd workshop that name a little
bit. I'm okay with it. I think Garth is a good and sort of like Darth, you know?
Well, I wonder if that's what it is, because Star Wars was what was really huge. Empire just come out. People were going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So we get about a minute of kit porn, and it's good. The kit porn in this episode is real good. Lots of sexy desert highways.
I agree.
Lots of this big Trans Am, fire is slinking down the road. It's good. It's all good. Kit can't find any redeeming qualities about gambling, because it turns out Michael's earned himself yet another vacation.
He does vacation a lot.
He vacations a lot. Yeah. He's going. They're working vacations, to be fair. Yeah. He's going to Vegas to blow off some steam. Kit wants to know the charms of gambling. I think Kit's just hustling him.
Oh yeah, he's like, oh, I don't know how to play pool. You'll kick my butt, kind of a
right.
thing. Also, like, Kit is in charge of the computer that they play on,
and the motherfucker cheats at dice as soon as they give him the ability to, like. Come on. Mm. Come on, Michael. Don't be a chump.
But yeah, Kit pretty much kicks his booty at Blackjack over and over again.
So Devin calls while he's on his way and says, Michael, since you're in Las Vegas, I want you to check on Arita. She's a Las Vegas card dealer and she's lost her brother. And I'm like, the foundation of law and government stops military generals from selling nuclear tipped field ordnance to rogue nations, and also checks up on the missing brothers of Las Vegas card dealers.
Well, yeah,
there's no job too small.
It's a slow week here at the foundation. We've got some busy work for you.
April, okay, here's, let's get to April. April is the new Bonnie, and she is combination Devin secretary / sex kitten and also mechanic somehow. I think this is a massive downgrade from Bonnie.
It is. In a lot of ways, for sure, but also, like, in a big way, like, Bonnie was just, like, a mechanic who was good at her job who happened to also be beautiful.
Right.
Whereas this is more of like a blow-up doll as a
it's
character.
It's definitely, like, Bonnie didn't aggressively cater to the male gaze because she's, you know, she's always wearing a sensible jumpsuit. She's got, you know, she's got long, I guess, feminine hair and a reasonable amount of makeup. But she wasn't all glammed up and dolled up. This April looks like she steps off of a, you know, what do they call those? The glamour shots.
Right, yeah.
She's always wearing a sexy dress. She's got her makeup done to the tins.
Mm-hmm.
Got her hair all done. Like, some of these outfits she wears later, it's like, to put her in pigtails, it's...
Yeah, the pigtails is what really...
The pigtails was really like, what the fuck, man?
Right.
And just like, I guess this Bonnie... I remember 7 years, like, I was pissed. Where... I didn't quite understand why, but I was upset that Bonnie was gone.
So know? Bonnie also was, oh, it wasn't Mike from Airwolf.
Oh, yeah, she played Mike from MacGyver.
MacGyver.
One episode and got recasted.
And then got recasted. I'm starting to feel terrible for this woman.
Maybe Patricia McPherson is just hard to work with.
A nightmare to work with. I was like,
she was supposed to be a sex kit in season one, and she just I'm gonna act like I'm repulsed by this guy. That's the play.
Well, that would be awesome.
Get my agent on the line if you don't like it, and they're like, we need to get a compliant blonde in here for season two, boys.
Boo. That's all I could say.
I do think fan outrage caused them to rehire her in season three on.
Oh, she comes back?
She comes back.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Yeah. All right.
She fucking broke the network. That's how fucking cool she is.
A fevered letter writing campaign spearheaded by 1 7-year-old Aaron Hubbard.
I used a lot of construction paper that summer.
Canvassing all of Hollywood.
I made a lot of collages, drew a lot of pictures, ate a lot of paste.
One of the most outspoken critics coming out of central Indiana.
So April reminds April, the aforementioned April, reminds Devin he's got a date tonight with Winton Knight's widow, who's supposedly beautiful, very beautiful. Right.
Yeah, she's good looking for an older gal. Sure. Yeah,
they're a nice match. They'd be a lot of fun together. Sure.
When do we want to get into the character of the widow?
Let's get into it here in two scenes from now.
Okay. Yes.
So Michael Knight bops into casino and sits right down at Rita's table because he's got no chill. And she's like, oh, hey, Garth. And he's like, who the hell are you talking about? Oh, she was like, oh, you just look like someone I know. He reveals he's Michael Knight from the Foundation, and he's here to investigate her brother. And she's like, Jesus Christ, I can't talk here. Come visit me after midnight. Then we get a scene of the aforementioned beautiful Winton Knight widow, whose name is Elizabeth, and she's entertaining Devin. Okay, here we are. What you got? What you got for the Knight widow?
Well, why is she so evil? Like, she seems to not be on the same page with her deceased husband at all. Like, what happened there?
I think that Winton Knight was horrified that his son turned into essentially into a self-funded rogue state. Because, he's very foundation for law and government, goddammit. He's not about supporting African revolutionaries. I low-key think Garth Knight is a little based in this episode, but we'll get there. I think he's so horrified that he was just willing to cut him completely out of his will and out of his life. And I think his mother just refused to do that because she's got the mother's love. And so... she felt the lash too. Winton kind of like cut her out of the will and spent the bulk of his money on the foundation.
She seems pretty well off. I think she's doing fine.
She could be better.
I guess she's thinking. Okay, so she's just motivated by a mother's love.
Well, and greed. Like, they also say, like, because Devin at one point kind of openly says, like, well, is this actually for Garth Knight's ego, or is this for her kind of greed and lust for power herself? So I think it's a little come see, come say.
Right. Her plan is to gain wealth. Okay. Fine. It's just like, man, you are not on the same page as your ex-husband.
Not at all.
I guess not ex-husband, but dead husband.
Right.
Way, way different agendas going on. Okay, but anyway.
She's evil in like the Eartha Kitt Catwoman version, where it's like Devin's like, you poisoned me and almost killed me and you're selling nukes to African warlords. And she's like, oh, Devin, am I really? Come on, I'm just a woman. Sit down. Right. Let me pour you a cup of poison. And she kind of pulls it off.
Yeah, she pulls it off. It is pretty bizarre. She goes pretty hard, too. She's like, you know, I always found you attractive. That's why I never visited the institution. It's because I was so hot for you.
She's working Devin. She comes into the scene telling him a story about her scandalous life, living the way a attractive divorcee is supposed to live with her tastes and wealth. And she's like, oh, it's probably scandalous, but I'm sure nothing can shock like essentially a man of the world like you, Gavin. He's like, what are you talking about, lady? I'm still a virgin. I fought WW2 and that's it. No, I'm sure Gavin's lived a life. Devin.
Sure.
I keep calling him Gavin's Devin.
That's Garth and Devin together is Gavin.
Oh man, this soup. Oh, that'd be funny if Devin has an evil brother named Gavin. Was it with this Knight Foundation, man?
Everyone's got an evil. Even Bonnie has an evil version of herself named April.
Oh God, April's probably evil. So Devin's like, you know, I'm having a good time here, and you certainly are beautiful, but I can't help but think you have an ulterior motive. She goes, oh Devin, it's so stuffy. Open up the window, and as he turns around to do it, she doses his drink.
Devin's really bold in this episode. He just walks into situations where he knows and expressly communicates that he's in trouble. There's something fishy here, and he just shows up anyway. He does it again later.
Yeah.
I mean, he confronts problems in life, that's for sure.
I mean, the man was busting himself out of jail last season. He's a man of action.
Yeah.
So, Rita and Michael are out driving around Vegas after midnight, and she tells him about this man she knows, Garth, and he shows up one day and his loves bombs her and uses her to get close to her brother, who he has do odd jobs, and I guess these jobs are so odd they might be illegal. So she said her brother got suspicious of Garth and started making tape recordings, and gave her a key to where he has secured these tapes, and Garth has gone on to, she fears, kill him. And she gives him this key, and she's like, I'm sorry, that's not much to go on. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You're giving a man a key to physical hardcore, but I guess the secret is, what they don't really establish is, she doesn't know where the tapes are. She has the key, but she has no idea where it goes.
Right. Not super helpful from the brother there.
She says that Michael is the antithesis of Garth, and it's clear to me that Michael has no idea. They make a joke about it, but I don't think Michael knows what antithesis means.
No. And she turns into Bricktop from Snatch for a second. She's like, do you know what antithesis means?
Oh God, I had that same joke in my notes, dude. So good. Do you know what antithesis means?
And he plays it off cool, but he doesn't answer the question.
No, he's got the look of like a laboratory retriever when you say the word food. Like he kind of cocks his head. Like he's like, I know this is important, but I don't. What? Yeah. Meanwhile, back with an Elizabeth's parlor, Devin starts to get heavy lidded, and he passes out as she says, "You're a stubborn one. Now we shall begin," and she pegs the shit out of him.
Right, yeah, this got, like, weirdly rapey.
That's the thing, it did feel like, yeah, this didn't feel, because when they said poisoned, you know, Devin's been poisoned, I'm like, nah, he got drugged. There's a difference.
Right, yeah.
But no, I think he actually did get poisoned, it turns out.
Well, he was poisoned by a rare African truth serum.
Right. So Garth's on the phone and says, we have the formula. It's time to begin. And this sets off a fucking sequence, like a Breaking Bad level meth cooking sequence, where this intimidating black semi gets backed into this facility and science stuff starts happening. And scientists are doing science things with like glowing drills and hammers, and they're welding on this big truck. Garth gets superimposed over the whole action, like a double exposure, and he's pouring over these schematics, and, you know, he's honestly the true heir to the Knight Empire. He's just evil.
Yeah, He has his dad's brain, and David Hasselhoff has Garth's dad's face, which is also bizarre. They allude to that in the pilot, but it's like he made you look like a young version of himself.
Yeah,
made him look like the exact clone of his son.
There's a very, very slight retconning. Well, yeah, I mean, it might be a severe retconning. I don't know, but
no, I think it's slight. I mean, whatever. Dad looked like a young version.
Yeah, exactly. You could be like, they looked identical, you know?
Right.
So I just got a kick out of these montages of the construction of Goliath. It's just really good. It's really good. And again, the set is amazing. Like, it really looks like this is in the early 80s, y'all. Like, this is some heavy duty. I don't know where the hell they found this place, but
I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, it is pretty good. I guess it's probably like a semi-mechanic warehouse or something.
But there's so much, like, they just wield so much, like, diagnostic shit and stuff in there. It's really cool. It looks like a mad scientist laboratory / garage. and the dramatic music, too, is just, it's like some demon being born in the Overlook Hotel. It's great. Meanwhile, Kit still cheating at car cards.
It is literally car cards.
He's card sharpened Michael, and April calls, and she has yet another hairstyle and outfit. Bonnie, you could set a clock to her. Same hair, same makeup, same jumpsuit, episode by episode. April is a fashion show.
I'm not going to lie. Going here. I didn't even realize that was the same person until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
I thought
she's
those were two different blonde gals.
She says, Michael, you got to come back. He's like, what about this Rita job? She says, drop it. Devin was poisoned.
This could have been a phone call. He didn't need to drop the case and head back.
Michael grabs Rita and tells her, hey, I got to leave on short notice. And she says, she scorns him and says, oh, my problems aren't big enough for the foundation. I see. And she's kind of, honestly, I'm not on her side. She's being a little much here.
Right. Yeah. They could be preventing World War III.
Right. Yeah. Like, you went from like, oh, don't bother to send someone to like, I'm entitled to all of your help at the timetable that I choose.
Wow.
But Michael's has got no time for this woman drama because he sees Garth. He's like, holy fuck, that's me with an evil goatee.
It is funny. If I got a face transplant and looked like someone else, and then I saw someone that looked like my new face, kind of, I don't know if I would necessarily initially think, hey, that guy looks like me.
Oh, because your residual self-image.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you buy a new car and you forget and you go out in the parking lot looking for your old car. Like, where the fuck is it? And...
Yeah. Exactly. But yes.
I noticed that Michael, he wears a leather jacket throughout most of this episode. But here I think he's wearing a formal Canadian tuxedo. All black jeans.
You're right.
Very rarely you see the formal tuxedo. Yeah,
the formal Canadian super tuxedo.
Right. It's like practically white tie.
Yeah, that's as good as it gets. It's also convenient that Michael Knight and Garth Knight have the same body type and height also.
Yeah, not hands, just the chest same hair fit. Patterns. They really went to, they took plastic surgery to the next level.
Listen, I got shot in the face and you reconstructed my face. I appreciate that. But why'd you break my legs and recast them to give me an extra 2.5 inches?
What did you do to my
inches?
Nipples? What is all this hair in my chest? Oh, my God.
And the circumcision. That was too far.
Winton was a madman. I think we talked about that in the pilot. Like, who does that? And they're especially when they're like, my God, look how sexy and virile he looks. Yes. Yeah. Devin's pissed about Michael trying to mother hen him about being sick and fair enough. And he demands to know what's going on. He says, you'll never guess. Winton had a son, Garth. Looked exactly like you, and he was serving three consecutive life sentences in an African prison for his revolutionary wars he was fighting over there. And Michael's processing this, like, holy shit, Winton made me look exactly like his son. And Devin, to deflect, says, well, you know, we didn't expect to ever see him again. Thought he's gonna just rot in African prison, so.
Oh, well then, excellent point. What the fuck did you do to me? You made me look exactly like an African war criminal?
To be fair,
he was in jail.
He said, well, I think they're after the molecularly bonded shell formula,
mm-hmm.
which is a good fucking guess, because the next scene, we're back to the science montage. The scientists are spraying on the molecular coating from an LED infused hose because it's the future. They got rope lights tied to a paint gun. It's literally what it is. Like the rope lights you see at your average tiki bar. Like they just got those zip tied to a conventional spray painter. There's computer mainframes, men in white coats welding things, guards superimposed, making a list and checking it twice.
You know it's serious when the guy who's doing the welding is wearing a tie. Mm-hmm. That's when it's real science.
Hell yeah. That's American labor right there. Mm-hmm. And look at him evil eye fucking us.
Yes.
He's so intense.
Looks good. I honestly think he looks a little bit better as Garth.
I think they gave him some eyeliner for sure.
Oh, that's probably why.
He is popping, maybe some bronzer. Because he's definitely got a distinct look. Maybe he's sucking in his cheeks a bit. I don't know. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today. And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? Devin explains how
they filmed that before craft services, all those scenes.
Winton devised this fiendish scheme to keep the molecularly bonded formula safe. He gave it to three of his closest friends, and they each have a fragment, so any two can get together and decide to make a total formula.
Right. It's a molecularly bonded shell game, if you will.
A three dude Monty. Devin then reveals that one of the three men has gone missing in Rio de Janeiro.
Right.
And Michael's like, oh my God, the first man's done. And Devin's like, I might be the second man because I was poisoned with this rare African drug that's also a truth serum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I gave up the formula. Like, what does that mean? Like, what kind of formula can you just memorize and spit out under the effect of heavy drugs that someone could go and fabricate in a right. lab?
It's sodium and chloride. But it's the molecularly bonded shell was in you the whole time. It was just water.
I don't know why I'm trying to figure this out, because Kit can see through 3 feet of lead with an infrared camera, okay? So that science does not exactly apply on this show.
What I like about this is one of the themes that we have discovered in season two of doing Feeny is how hungry the audience was for an evil version of the protagonist, right? We had evil A-Team, we had evil Airwolf, kind of.
Yes.
And it's like, sure, we don't get evil Kit. We get giant semi-truck with one of Kit's features.
But they did evil Kit last season, remember, with Carr.
Oh, fuck, I
forgot
about
Carr.
They're
going back to the evil vehicle, and they're like, you can tell, it's like, well, we already did the evil Kit, now what are we going to do? What's the stakes? Evil semi-Kit.
Giant Kit. I forgot about Carr. Wow.
How
okay.
did you forget about Carr?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. God. I'm sorry.
Carr comes out. If we ever do season three, we'll have to revisit Carr too.
Hell yeah.
So they are Kit's horrified. Well, no. Wait, first we have more Kit porn. Wait. What the hell am I thinking? Oh, I put in my notes that Michael has real feelings about like this, the shell being stolen and Devin getting poisoned, and Hoff is, like I said, is really challenging himself here. You know, he's actually putting in a performance. We get more Kit porn, and this is, I think, the best. Well, boy, there's that Monument Valley shit later, but they're doing this magic hours filming where like there's natural starbursts coming off of Kit's lines, and his shiny, and it just looks fucking gorgeous. It just Kit's just so sexy. Look at this. Look at that.
I feel like they upped the budget for season two, and they used it in a couple of ways, getting some real nice shots of Kit driving around, and also they bought one Rolling Stones song, and damn it, they're gonna use it.
I think they might have spent probably 25% of the budget of the season on this two episodes too. Who knows?
Yeah, probably.
So Kit's horrified to learn of Garth's background, and even more so the fact that he might lose his uniqueness. We know that was once a sense in last season, a sense of like bleakness and despair, but he eventually kind of grew to like his uniqueness, his one of a kind nature.
Right.
And it's under threat again.
But now there's Carr, and now there's also Goliath. You're not that unique yet.
You're not that special. So Michael's cranky about how long backtracing this key is going to take. And Kit's like, well, how about we play some blackjack? He's like, I'm fucking broke, Kit. I can't afford to play it.
Right.
Down in Rio de Janeiro, we're traveling the world in this episode.
We're
jet setting. Devin and April check on their doctor friend. Turns out he is dead in a suite. Last seen in the company of Elizabeth Knight, Winton Knight's widow. Dum dum dum.
Yeah, pretty easy to put that one together.
Yeah.
And like, what kind of Brazilian hotelier is this, by the way? He narcs her out immediately.
Right?
Is there no honor?
Well, if it's a man, he would have discretion. But a woman, asking about a woman's business, he deserves to know.
That's a good point, especially a fancy British man. Whoops.
Yeah. I love Devin's like, call a hospital that can treat exotic poisons.
Right, and the guy goes and gets on the phone.
Yeah,
like,
let me call the exotic poison hospital. It's
it is Brazil. The Amazon's right there. He's like, sir, that por favor, that is every
fucking
hospital.
African exotic, not South American exotic.
That's a good point.
You fool. So the other thing I love is April checks this guy's pulse and immediately says he's been dead at least 24 hours.
Right, yeah.
How the fuck are you a doctor? In addition to a secretary and a
car doctor.
Supercar mechanic?
Yeah.
Damn.
His motor oil's gone cold. The check engine light is all but burnt out at this point.
So Kit finally has a lead on the location where the key can be used. It's either bowling alley and a bus terminal. Spoiler alert. It's the bus terminal. Michael goes through the tedious process of trying every lock. And what really tickled me is it doesn't seem like he has any methodical approach. It really seems like he's just trying random lockers.
Yeah.
Like he's crouched down. He tries one. He gets up and he goes to the middle of the next top row.
Right.
Starts trying like, what? Dude, get a fucking system. But it works because he opens it up.
I'm going to do all the prime numbers first.
Well, I guess that's the thought. That's a system. He finds a duffel bag that's loaded with tapes.
Right. Yeah.
There's at least 12 60-minute tapes in here.
Well, we don't know that all of those tapes are evidence. Some of them could be, you know, Molly the Book Hatchet. Of Mormon on tape or and Molly Hatchet. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just thought I just laughed at just the ludicrous amount of tapes that he has in there. It's like, Jesus Christ, was Garth recording an audiobook of crime? Like, come on.
Now let me get to part 7 of my manifesto.
Let me tell you about the opinions I developed as a warlord in Africa.
Banks and what it means to you.
Back at the facility, work continues on Goliath apace. He's back in his ice cream configuration, and his scientist informs him that the molecularly bonded shell will be fully hardened by noon tomorrow in time for his demonstration. Mm. And as he requested, his rockets will be loaded at the top of his truck. And he smiles in grim inevitability of his triumph.
Yes. He's a fun, evil character.
Yeah, he's having a good time. He's got a master plan. By God, it's going down stroke by stroke.
That's what I really ask for in a villain. Do a Palpatine style. Have fun.
Yeah.
While you're doing your evil.
Cackle a bit. Chew some scenery.
Yes. Do a flip with a sword.
Michael listens to the tapes and he hears repeated mention of Red Bluffs, this location, and Kit cannot find any trace of this location in his data banks. It beggars my belief that there's not a Red Bluffs in the United States aside from the secret military base, but whatever. It doesn't have the internet. He says maybe Rita has a lead, and Kit says if she's still talking to you, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, what an attitude we're copping here.
Like, channeling Michael Knight at that moment.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck Rita. I don't like Rita. I think Rita's is no good. I don't like her. We return back to the casino. Now she is no longer dealing cards. She's playing cards. I don't know why a Las Vegas dealer would hang out.
Well, she's friends with
a blackjack pit.
Bartenders drink at their friends' bars, you know.
This is true. That's sad, but true. Yeah.
She's friends with old Frank here, and she gives him a generous tip.
Michael sidles up to her at the table, says, you're right about that key, and she tries to walk away. I'm like, God damn it, what the hell? And she's like, you shouldn't bring up my personal business at work. And he demands, like, okay, enough bullshit. What about this Red Bluff? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and this isn't the time or place. And he is pissed, buddy, and I'm right there with you, Michael.
Thank God. Usually, in her world, a red bluff is when you're pretending that you have a flush of all hearts when you don't.
Don't look at me for poker knowledge. I got it's not my game, buddy. It's not my game.
Let's move forward.
I'm tapping 3 black mana and
hell yeah, dude.
Swing it. No.
If
anyway.
You could play like casual, well, not casual, but like if you could gamble with like a booster draft or something, I guess you probably can't. You could just do that.
We used to play for decks. Like when we get together and play on Friday night, it's whoever won would get the other guy, you know. So like if you got a foil nickel bolus, like hell yeah, you want to win that night. So
but I want to do this in Vegas with a dealer.
Yes. Okay. Well, then you want to go like to Gen Con because you can, I'm sure you could hook something like that up.
But I guess I would lose. I would lose every hand. I also want it to be as fast as like a hand of blackjack. Just like flip it over.
And you want a supercar guaranteeing the result in the parking lot.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So Elizabeth Knight wants Michael and Rita dead because they're loose ends. And he says, if it was up to you, mother, half the world would be dead. All she knows is what I tell her, and all he knows is what she tells him. And it's kind of badass. It's like he's got this shit. Like, this is all part of his master plan, down to luring Kit and Michael out to his demonstration. They're unwittingly. It's like this is some like Kevin Spacey from Seven type shit that he's pulling.
Mm. Never saw it. I'm sorry. That's one of those movies that people give me a hard time for not having seen.
Not me. It's all right. It's all right. You've probably just culturally osmosed the important.
I'm aware of the premise. Yes.
Exactly. And he also says Michael Knight must die. He was designed to replace me. How could I possibly tolerate his life on Earth? He's a living, breathing insult to my existence. It's like, goddamn.
It's fair. I think that's fair.
He's doing the voice. Yeah. Hell, I mean, like I said, I would love to know more about Winton and this guy's relationship. How do you raise a son?
Right.
And he turns into an African Revolutionary warlord. Like, I'm sorry. There's some. Maybe Winton was just an arch fucking conservative and Garth couldn't handle it.
I mean, if you're like a mega billionaire who funds his own essentially secret police to advance his specific agenda.
Have we seen anyone but white people at the Knight Foundation? Foundation?
Interesting. How do you rebel against that as like a teenager? Well, you support Pan-African liberation.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, you do. I want to ask you this since we're looking at it. What do you think of the custom commercial brake bumpers in this episode to feature Kit going on a head-on collision towards Goliath? Is that too spoilery or is that...
Go ahead. For me, it's too spoilery.
I gotta say, when I was a 7-year-old watching this, it was like, every time I saw it, I was like losing my fucking mind. Like, oh my god, how are we gonna get here? You know?
But it is like
they also showed that for like weeks on end.
Yeah.
Because this was like the season.
Sorry.
This is credited as episode 2 or 3, but I'm pretty sure this was the season premiere of season 2. So I don't know what the hell the production numbers are all about.
Mine said 1 and 2, but I mean, essentially, this is immovable object, unstoppable force.
Yeah.
What will happen? So technically, it's not a spoiler because. They're just setting up, like, what happens when Kit hits this giant semi-truck? Find out.
You don't really know. Like, as a kid, I'm like, maybe Kit can knock his front wheel out. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
I've seen Kit do crazy shit. So April and Devin brief Michael about Garth and what they found out about him, that he spent time in African prison with the Sambe Kuna, a Pan-African liberation movement leader. And they become business partners. Garth has taken a whole bunch of leases on unsafe, condemned African diamond mines. And right. Kuna has thousands of willing followers, so he sends his fanatical army into the mines to the tunes of $50 million of blood diamonds. And that's how they're financing this operation.
Pretty good premise.
Yeah.
A little unnecessary. Like, the whole Pan-African liberation thing feels a little tacked on.
It's like, is this...
You could just tell me he had a bunch of his dad's money.
I mean, there was, like, this was, like, a big deal in the 80s. Like, the starvation in Ethiopia, the droughts, the famines, the warlords, like, stealing the supplies, like...
Sure.
Like, it's just very 20th century, right? Like, you know, When the warlords are bestriding the European continent, nobody's there to be like, hey, you guys need to knock this shit off. This isn't how civilized countries behave. And now we're making tea.
I don't know. It's like, a little thing called Easy Company did just that.
True. I guess that's true. I guess the outside forces did intervene in that conflict. Didn't they? But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Like, I do. It's very white man's burden.
Yeah, it's very poor. It's like, this is like, they're doing the shit that every landmass does to figure out their, like, to get their states shooken out, right? And, like, you know, there's having a poor taste to do it when the Western world is finished with it. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. It's like he had an ill-begotten claim to that diamond mine. That should have been our diamond mine, damn it.
Was it unsafe or was it just unprofitable?
Right. Elon Musk's dad was like, hang on.
Got a good deal on that diamond mine. Devin said, so what have you found about Red Bluff? And he's like, I'll keep you posted. So Michael Knight, I don't know why they do not explain this in this insane hail investigatory Hail Mary he does, but he rolls into what is charitably called a used car, a previously owned vehicle yard. It's really a junkyard, right. But it's owned by a man named Chief. And it turns out he, mm-hmm. yes, he is a Native American. And yes, he does, mm-hmm. know about Red Bluffs. It's the old Indian burial ground. Sick.
Of course.
SIC. That the government has erected a fence around to keep everyone, including the Native Americans, out.
Right. They have a good about that. Like,
they do. They do. They literally do. Like, oh, that government.
Like, it's protected lands. Oh, so only the Indians can get there. It's protected from us, too. Ha,
yeah,
ha, ha.
Right,
like,
right. They're just keeping their boomsticks there, and they don't want us poking around.
Right. But yeah, you're right. This was a big swing.
Like,
well,
there's nothing
but...
official. Let's ask the engines and see what they have to say. And then right. also let's pull over to first base that says Chiefs, and that's where we'll find them.
Right. Well, they don't show you the first stop. He ended up at the Kansas City Chiefs memorabilia store.
Right.
Asking them about the Red Bluffs.
Right. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? So he's like, will you tell me where this place is? Like, yeah. And he draws a map on a dusty hood, and Michael Knight.
Yeah. It's like, you take I-15 out of town, and then it cuts. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, that's easy
right.
directions.
Nobody wants to stay for the 15 minutes of detailed directions of how you get to the Red Bluffs. But, no. We got more kit porn. This is the best. They go past Elephant Rock in Nevada. This is some real postcard cinematography shit.
Oh, look at you.
Look
knowing
at that
the name of that
shit.
Specific rock. It does look like an elephant.
That's probably why they call it that. And it's great. It's beautiful. Like, I'm getting my fucking television viewer money's worth here. They come up to a gated fence, and Michael's like, I don't know, it looks like a plain old mountain to me. And Kit goes in X-ray mode and it reveals two large doors somehow in the distance, but he can't peer them because he thinks they're lead lined.
Right. Lead plated doors. Why would there be lead plated doors out here, Michael?
What are they hiding? I must have thought this was so cool. I was so enthralled with underground bases. I still kind of am.
I'm okay with them being able to detect the lead
Same.
Doors. Like, that's
Same.
All right. But later it gets a little more suspect.
Yeah. Cause he says I can't, and he's like, can you see through the lead with enough power? And he's like, of course not. Maybe if I tried infrared. I'm like, that is not how any of this stuff works, man.
I think infrared would see a big cold door.
Right. So Devin lands back from Rio de Janeiro, and he meets Michael at the airport, and he says, I've checked with the military and they swear there's no base out there. They suspect that the Pan-African Liberation Movement's at the heart of all this, and April's going to try to...
Surely the military would tell me, a foreign national and spy of every
leading
secret
a paramilitary
base.
Government
right.
organization.
I understand the like the Five Eyes is a strong network of spies, but I don't know exactly how... thorough it is.
April's going to try to beef up Kit's infrared scanners to see if he can see anything beyond the lead doors. It's ridiculous. Gavin goes back to Vegas to treat with Elizabeth Knight, and she's
he just walks right
yeah,
back.
And she's got the gall to just act like, oh, Gavin, you're so silly. I didn't kill anyone. I didn't poison you. You just,
right. You drank too much. Like,
gaslighting.
What is her play here? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. you're so charming, so suspicious.
You wouldn't want me to release the sex tape, would you?
And she's like just kind of giving him the business, and then Garth Knight reveals himself. And
he has a great moment from atop the spiral staircase.
I would love to see a flashback episode of young Garth running Devin around the foundation.
That would be fun.
It's like, you know, when you're out of ideas deep in season 4, just do a flashback episode. he has a David Hasselhoff hairpiece and like just a pubescent version of the goat.
Oh,
it's kind of patchy.
Yeah.
Hasn't all come in, but
That's such a good look.
Acne, untreated acne. This is before they had the Accutane, you know. He says, I came here to reason with you, Garth, and Garth says it's too late for that. The only time we have now is for war and for your defeat, especially Michael Knight. Dun, dun, dun. A regular old truck drives down the street. Turns out it's April's mobile garage, and she's the mechanic, mm-hmm. as we mentioned. She's wearing like a purple pink jumpsuit with like sequin buttons and pigtails.
A lot. The pigtails is, that's just too much.
She looks
man.
Like the kid sisters from Brady Bunch.
Right. She
and
does.
It's just really aggressively off-putting. Like, damn. We traded Bonnie for this?
No. I was endlessly disappointed. Because I was okay. I was like, up to this point, I was like, all right. Now I want to call him Gavin. Devin has a new secretary. Whatever. Right. But eventually we'll get Bonnie back. Like, what? What is this?
I don't know. Patricia McPherson wouldn't put up with this shit. It's probably why they got rid of her.
Yeah, exactly. She was like, I'm not doing pig. That's the line.
So it turns out
I will leave the show.
Garth Knight got out of African prison by having an intermediary that he had corruption charges blackmail over to arrange a presidential pardon. And it's within a week of being let out of prison, Garth had this man murdered or framed for suicide. Murder staged a suicide. Mm. It's really Machiavellian plot. Because they also reveal in the same scene that the corruption as government officials being prosecuted for was illegal diamond mine leasing. So the blackmail he had over him furthered his own agenda. It's really tight. It's really tight.
Yeah. Well done.
Rita calls and says, I need to see you right away. So Kit deploys from a truck, and this is so fucking cool. Holy shit.
Yes, I agree.
Nighttime deployment of Kit. He hits the ground. It sparks. He pulls an instant 180 Rockford and takes off in the opposite direction. Oh, my God.
No, it's a legitimately great stunt.
Oh, it's so cool. So, yeah, now Michael goes back to Rita, and she's coming to correct now. She apologized for being angry. I'm so powerless, Michael. And he's like, oh, yeah? Last time I saw you, you were a dealer, could barely afford a $300 a month apartment. You're staying at a $300 a night suite. What's the deal? She's like, well, I'm working for Garth. I'm letting him seduce me so I can get the goods on him, see? Which actually, you know, that's a heads-up play by Rita.
It's a heck of a gambit.
It's going to end in her being buried in the desert, probably. But, you know, you're trying to avenge your brother. I get it.
Fair enough.
And
I mean, she could just, like, poison him or something.
And
but
she gives Michael some nice intel. She says, hey, I overheard him talking that he has a demo for his warlord buddy. And he says, the shell is ready. Goliath is born, which is so fucking Garth Knight. And the face and hand gesture Michael Knight makes on hearing these words is incredible. What is he doing?
He kind of turns into like a Frankenstein.
Yeah, it's like Frankenstein
minute.
Coming at you with his hands at waist level to choke you to death.
This is a point of view. It's 2 a.m. and you're a hamburger on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, it's exact. You don't want that 1,000-yard stare pointed in your direction, huh? So his two brain cells activate and he realizes what's going on. Garth welcomes his brother from another mother, Kuna, to his compound. They embrace to call each other brother. And Kuna is suitably impressed with Goliath. He says, it's everything you promised. It's magnificent.
It's so funny. It's just a big truck. Like, it's essentially Garth is making a killdozer.
He
is what he's doing.
He is.
It's not that impressive.
It's not a scalpel.
I mean, they have a plan for it and everything.
It's a splitting ball. And what is impressive is he gives him a steel bar and he slams it against Goliath's very impressive and beefy cowcatcher, radiator guard, whatever. And it shatters like glass.
This would be a pretty easy illusion to fake. To like instill false confidence in someone.
This soft pig iron in liquid nitrogen for 30 minutes now.
Right.
Wear this heavy leather glove.
Wear this glove.
So, the kid drives up with his infrared scanner, and not only can he see through these doors, he can see through these doors like they're polished glass.
Yeah.
Like, this is
to
better
like
than
a camera shot. Yeah.
Color penetrative infrared vision. It's insane. It's insane.
It's way silly. And this is, Kit's getting very magical at this point.
And we haven't even got to super pursuit mode. Oh, boy. Wait until you get a load of his super pursuit mode that he can switch into in later seasons.
Oh, boy.
Michael then sees the missiles deep in this complex, and he realizes what he's going to use this truck with its magical, invulnerable shell. And Kit's like, we should call Gavin. And he's like, nah. Let's check out his demonstration first. They reveal that this has been a trap the entire time. As Michael heads over to the demonstration, we see the African warlord's men spying on him as he drives down this lonely canyon road. They detonate the canyon and it caves in behind them, so there's no escape. I don't know how the hell Goliath is going to get out of here now that I think about it.
We get more good beret action like in the 80s.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah. They got the counter-revolutionary paramilitary outfits down pat.
I still just don't understand the tactical bonus of a beret.
It's a +1 to war crimes, I think.
It squeezes the anger center lobes of your brain.
It does stimulate. It's like the butcher's nails in Warhammer.
Exactly.
The butcher's beret. The butcher's berets.
Oh my god.
Driven mad by them. So, I'm so sorry. There's like three people that got that reference.
I know, but it was so funny to them. And I was one of the three.
I gotta say, Kuhn has been blowing this. This was a cool effect. Like, I don't know whether this is something they built or it's something they got the permission to cave in, or if it's a scale model.
It's a model. There's some good model.
They actually do
some
RC car work, I noticed.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good for its era. So Garth gets in what I can only describe as a snazzy driving outfit, a skin tight onesie with like silver buttons, and he bears down on Kit and Michael Knight. He's got this intense look on his face. Kit continues deeper into Red Bluff and he spots Goliath on his scanners, and Kit says, I can see he's molecularly bonded, Michael. We should withdraw. And Michael's like, I don't know. I think if we're quick enough, we can knock out his right front wheel. Like, what part of molecularly bonded do you not understand? Could someone...
Like, are Kit's wheels vulnerable that way?
And why is right... Like, this is insane. So they do what fucking Knight Rider loves to do. It's a game of chicken. With a molecularly bonded semi, Garth looks determined. Michael Knight, to his credit, looks afraid. He looks like he's about to shit his pants. And Goliath just hilariously dumpsters Kit. Like, it's not even, like, a debate. He just gets shoved to the ground like a 6-year-old by a high schooler. And Garth smiles and he blares his horn. And it's so funny.
Yes.
And Kit is...
He does a lot of horn work in this episode. It's fun.
Kit is fucked up. He is on his side. He's all rumpled. I was upset enough to shed tears when this happened as a 7-year-old.
Oh, no.
And my dad was laughing his ass off. Like, it's going to be okay. I promise. There's a whole season left, kid. You don't know how any of this works yet, but if they ever kill this fucker, it'll be during sweeps week. It'll be
over.
For the finale, okay? Relax.
Right.
To be continued. Part 2. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping. Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info. We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love. And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? So we're going to skip the lengthy previously on because it is like weirdly complete for, you know, the episode that presumably we either just saw or saw earlier or the previous week. And again, Kit's fucked up. They've actually gone back and fucked him up worse than he was at the end of the cliffhanger.
That's
and
true.
Can you describe Michael's disposition of his body?
Well, he certainly seems to be pinned beneath the rolled over Kit. Presumably crushed to death, I would kind of guess.
Yeah, like, wear your seatbelt, you dork, number one. Number two...
He's never had to before.
Number two, like, he had a head-on collision. Probably combined speed of something like 100, 120 miles an hour. And he's got nothing but a tasteful trickle of blood down... One side of his mouth, and he.
No, that was from the Skittles he was eating while he was casually playing this game of chicken.
It was from the sad cheeseburger that he ate as he was bemoaning his fate.
Rare.
Like, I don't see how he survived. This is insane.
I mean, maybe the thing is, it's like, I guess molecular bonding versus molecular bonding, just the biggest vehicle wins.
Yeah, but the impact.
So maybe it was,
Like, I can see Kit surviving in the state that he is, but Michael Knight should be fucking tomato paste.
Yeah, he's the brain rattling around in the skull.
And he says, I'm sorry, Kit. I overmatched us. And then he thinks about it, he's like, I mean... I overmatched you. Like, he kind of throws Kit under the bus after he just threw him underneath the fucking Goliath.
Literally. Yeah, he just literally threw Kit under a semi.
So Kit sounds weak, but he's still functional. He's got that warbly kind of like half activated.
He's got a It's cool. I like the wounded kit sound.
Like I
that.
Said, as a kid, I was like, I was fucking enraptured by this. And yeah, Kit's mentally functional. He can't contact anyone for help. He can't scan anything in the nearby environment. Michael wants to consult the ESB, which is a sick callback from the pilot, where Devin tried to beg this fucker to read the manual and understand it. And he's like, nah, I don't have time for this nerd shit. Well, it's coming back at the start of season two.
All right.
He pulls out this binder and it's got all these. So this is hilarious. It's got all these schematics that are clearly like these intricate circuit works and stuff. And he even says like, this is like Greek, buddy. The very next scene, he's going to have Kit's hood open, diagnose that he has busted turbines, and suggest jury rigging this into a ramjet.
Am I supposed to know what a ramjet is?
I don't
is?
Know how the hell you could make a ramjet out of a jet in the desert from a broken jet engine. Let alone Michael Knight, who just 30 seconds ago didn't understand a circuit schematic. Now he's like fucking Tony Stark in a cave. What the hell is going on?
No, he got a unwarranted intelligence boost all of a sudden.
So yeah.
Maybe it's Gilligan's Island coconut math. Maybe he was a genius. Then he got shot in the head, became kind of the lovable doof that we've known, and now this concussion has re-geniusified him.
Maybe the plastic surgery to look like the Knights somehow rewired his brain to be smart like them too. Uh-huh. It's just taking a season to take effect.
Plastic surgeon, can you make his brain more wrinkly, please?
It needs a few more.
I heard that's where the intelligence lives.
More wrinkles. Kit says, he whines and says, my exhaust can't handle the temperatures of a ramjet and we'll never be able to navigate. And Kit's like, we're going to die here, pal. We got to try something.
Yeah.
Devin tries to tell a NORAD general, look, man, we made you. We saw your secret missile base and you're going to get your shit kicked in. You got to defend yourself. And the general's like, nah, bullshit. We would know if you're going to be attacked. And he just dismisses him.
There's a really wacky map of the world in this scene too, where northern China, Mongolia is like its own independent nation. I don't know, maybe there's,
and it's
some
centered on the Pacific Ocean
going
some
on.
It's like the Weekend Update map in Saturday Night Live. that's interesting.
Anyway,
buying Chinese Mongolia resource zone.
What the hell is this country? Anyway, that's part of the deep lore of Knight Rider.
Yeah, it's due to the Foundation's meddling, I'm sure. So Michael Knight gets back in Kit and he wrestles himself into his seat. He's like getting into a rocket because Kit's on its side. And he tries to fire Kit and the engine starts. And Michael Knight gets Kit back onto his tires by just flooring it until the engine rights itself. What?
The problem was I wasn't flooring it enough. I mean, maybe there's enough spin in the tires that are getting enough traction to pull it over and ride it.
I thought they'd do. So I misremembered this. I thought that like maybe there's a MacGyver episode where he does this, but I thought he rigged a pulley system to get Kit back on its feet. Number one.
Seems like that's what he should have done. Or I feel like he probably could have just pushed it over.
Or he uses a supercharged ramjet to have Kit auto open its door so hard that it like flings itself back onto itself. And you could probably
Do
a reverse motion of that. It would look pretty cool. I don't understand why because this is just ridiculous. It's just like he just revs the engine until it flips back over. Now, I thought, because I have a vivid memory of seeing Kit fishtailing in the desert. And my 7-year-old brain didn't realize it was Michael Knight struggling with the intense acceleration of the ramjet. I thought Kit...
You thought they're just having a good time?
No, I thought Kit was so bent and fucked up in his frame that he couldn't drive straight. And, like, Michael Knight was going to have to essentially battle him the entire way to the Knight Foundation.
Gotcha.
I'm wrong. Clearly, he was just fishtailing because of the acceleration.
Right.
What the hell is going on here with this donkey? I don't remember this.
They encounter a man with a donkey who's basically his whole purpose seems to be like the I picked the wrong day to quit drinking kind of a character.
So he doesn't actually help Michael. Okay.
Nope. I thought for sure he was going to, like, Michael was going to get directions right. or something. They just buzz by him a couple times. At one point, he, like, dives and hits the dirt. But literally, he's just there to be like, did I just see what I thought I saw?
Yeah. So Kit's wrist.
That's probably like the director or something.
Kit's trying to. He's freaking out about Michael going 300 miles an hour, barely out of in control. And he tries to calculate the risk, and his risk calculation circuit burns out. I thought that was pretty
that's
funny.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Kuna is back congratulating Garth about his accomplishments, but he also has a warning. He says, I'm trying.
He gets really aggro.
Yeah. He's like, he has his Tufts go up and grab Garth and says, look, I understand you have a personal vendetta, but I have an investment to protect. And you need to stop fucking around with your personal bullshit and drive, or I will get one of my talented African warlord flunky butcher beret guys to pilot the vehicle. And Garth is pissed. He don't like this. He don't like this at all. Furious.
Yeah. The warlord is right, though.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
The vendetta is going to cost him in a minute.
It is going to bite him hard. Devin frets and Michael Knight might have given his life for nothing. And just as he does, Michael Knight strolls into the office, eyes rolled back into his head, and passes out into April's arms.
Yeah. He just barely made it.
After he recovers, they all put together that the warlord's going to use Goliath to steal the missiles from Red Bluff. And Michael deduces that Gavin didn't kill Michael when he could have because he's got to beat him. He's got to prove that he's the better man. Mm-hmm. And he says, he can't stand losing to me. And with the kid's help, I think I can beat him. April installs a beefed up version of some kind of, an ultra frequency beam. She supercharges it with a powerful laser for some reason. And she says, this might do what you, and this is all just to cheat at dice. This ultra frequency beam. She also gives Michael Knight a small explosive to plant on Goliath. And then she gives him an oh, you repressible scoundrel look as he takes off.
Right. I think I missed the part. I didn't realize they were installing the dice cheating device in this episode. I thought that must have been a pre-existing thing because it is so completely absurd.
And it comes out of left field. It's just like, I think that's what they do. It's like in the previous season, it's like, you know, let's give him a tow cable and we'll figure out something for him to do the tow cable. Now it's like, we need to cheat at Vegas dice.
Right, well, give him a dice cheating machine.
It's electromagnetic. Yeah, that's the ticket. That's the ticket. So, Garth sidles up to Rita and says, hey, we've had some special times, baby. Just want to make sure there's no one but me, is there? And she says, no. And he's like, oh, of course not. How could there be? And then he kisses her, says, remember that. And he kisses her, and it's really intense. But Rita plays this like she's about to laugh because I think she is. I think her and Hasselhoff could barely keep this shit together. Look at her.
Yeah.
She's right there. It's pretty right there. She almost laughed in his face.
Well, she's looking at his fake mustache and sideburns. Oh,
and the performance he's putting on. It's a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. It's so fun, though.
Yeah, and just as she's about to leave his suite, he goes, oh, by the way, sorry to hear about Ron. Turns out some rock collectors found his body out in the desert. Why would you say this? At the eve, like, it's all part of him reverse baiting Michael, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I think so. This is all part of his thing. So Michael shows up at Craps and he blocks all of Garth's cock. Like, he's just like, if you had a real life player doing to you this and Craps, you would have him killed. Michael bets all of his opposite. He keeps on doubling down.
Yeah.
He rolls seven like four times in a row. And then there's this one final bet. He's like, I want to put 50,000. The dealer says, sir, the table limit's 20,000. And Garth says, his credit's good. I'm like, does Garth fucking own this casino?
Right. Is that how that
Can
works?
Can a high roller just be like, no, he's good. Like,
yeah.
Okay. And he cost Garth like $100,000 his last throw. And, Michael thinks he's clever. He thinks he's got the hook set deep into Garth. And
to be clear, it's not that Michael Knight is good at craps. It's that there's a cheesy little animation every time the dice are thrown and it pops into whatever number it needs to be.
Kit's using his infrared camera to monitor inside the casino and using, like the dice glow blue and they always flip up. Or he also makes Garth roll snake eyes, which is funny too.
Right. So now Kit is like one of the most powerful entities on the face of the planet because it essentially has an infinite money glitch.
Yeah, he's got the combined powers of Juggernaut, Magneto, and Professor X at this point. He's an alpha class mutant right. car in a Trans Am. It's insane. So Michael takes off in Kit and Garth takes off in his red Mercedes. And me and Kit are wondering, what the fuck is he trying to do? Like, this bins ain't molecularly bonded bullshit. So,
no.
And Michael deduces that he's so angry, he's not even thinking straight.
He's tilted.
And apparently, Kit can take remote control of cars now, too. He locks the steering, and they trick him into going into Bonnie's mobile garage, where Devin takes him at gunpoint.
Right. So now, I mean, it seems like all the cards, so to speak, are in favor of the Knight Foundation. What could possibly go wrong?
It sure does. Michael dresses as Garth, returns to the casino.
This is so fun. So now we've got Michael Knight. Now we have David Hasselhoff playing Michael Knight.
Playing.
Dressed as David Hasselhoff as Garth Knight.
Yeah. And he shows up and he goes to Rita, and Rita's, of course, freaked out. He's like, no, it's me, Michael. And since he's the antithesis, she just spiritually groks the fact that this is Michael. And he said, you got to get out of here. You got to come with me or you won't live through the night. Kuna,
the Michael Knight,
Kuna the warlord, taunts Elizabeth Knight about what a flibbertigibbet her son Garth is. And she says, this operation isn't planned by small-minded people who are ruled by clocks, coming dangerously close to inventing the concept of white people time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what she's doing.
It's pretty wild that these warlords are just operating in full military uniforms willy-nilly within the United States of America.
Yeah.
Like, is there at any point in time just some sort of warlording around in America?
Right.
And I don't even know because it's out in the desert.
Like maybe Gavin should step back from NORAD, just call the FBI. Hey, we have a warlord on our territory. Can you just come and arrest him? He's got like 10 dudes, so, you know, beef up, but...
Yeah. I'm not saying you have to go full Waco or anything, but...
Devin is fretting again, so he decides to check on Garth. Garth has dressed up as Michael Knight, of course, and he swings down from the ceiling and kicks Gavin's ass.
Right.
Takes him and April at gunpoint. And it's not clear to me why he doesn't just get in his bins and take off. Because it's right there. Mm. It's right there in the truck.
Could still be in lockdown
mode.
Maybe.
So he instead goes and jumps out the top. There's an escape hatch on the truck and he jumps into some unsuspecting convertible caddy,
which is funny,
beats the guy down and just drives off. That's actually a cool ass stunt though.
It is a good stunt. Another good stunt. Stunts in this episode are great.
I mean, I'm sure they weren't going as fast as it looks, but some stuntman jumped off the back of a moving semi onto a convertible that's also moving. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I agree.
Rita said she was leaving Garth because she couldn't stand being with the man that killed her brother.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
Yeah. There's some mess where Michael says, didn't your brother want a gold record? What the fuck is that about?
I have no idea, man.
I feel like there was a B plot that her brother came out to Vegas to record a hit record. I don't know. I didn't track that.
I took it as like a Pulitzer type of thing because I thought he was a journalist, but I guess he was just getting blackmail.
Was her brother the blonde guy?
Yeah, right?
I didn't put that together. I thought that was someone from a spy from the foundation, but that actually checks out. That's a lot cleaner. Michael Knight says, hey, I'm going to have Kit tint the car's windows. You stay here. I'll be safe because I'm Garth and he fears no male man. I want to say that Kit with his windows all blacked out is so fucking sick looking.
Oh yeah. That's a great
like
look.
It's illegal as hell, but all black everything, all tinted everything is so fucking clean looking. Look at that.
Everything they do is illegal. Yeah.
Look at that.
That's a good
Jesus,
look.
That's so cool. Yeah, uh-huh. Right for off-road purposes. Well, to be fair, they're using it off-road, so.
That's true. They're off-roading. Since we're in the desert, we're allowed to do this, Kit. Just this one time.
It's like being in the desert is like being in international waters for cars. It's just, you know,
it's true.
Anything goes.
That's an excellent point. Deserts are the international water of land.
Yeah, which is why all car chases in Mad Max are naval battles.
Are legal. Oh, yeah. And also
and legal.
It's under admiralty law.
True. And they're all sovereign citizens for that very reason.
Exactly. They kind of are.
That's
in Mad
true.
Max.
That's true. The gold fringe is not for nothing in that universe. Michael rolls up and Kuna asks him if his personal vendettas are satisfied. And he does a pretty good Garth and says, mind your own business. I took Kit as a memento of my ultimate triumph over Michael Knight. And I need five minutes alone with Goliath to make sure everything's good. And he's going to plan his explosives. I don't know what the fuck he's going to do. Could you put a golf ball size of explosive anywhere on Kit and do anything?
That's what I was wondering. Like, if you put, does this imply that there are weak spots on Kit that we don't
know
about?
I bet there are. No. I actually bet that's exploited in like a later season too.
The glove box. Or if you put a banana in the exhaust pipe. Totally immobilizes them.
Sugar in the gas tank, banana in the tailpipe.
I guess if you got like a molecularly bonded anvil and dropped it on him from a helicopter,
ooh.
I think technically that could take
that would
him
do
out.
Hail damage at least. yeah. I also think there's the other thing you could do is like probably shoot it like a 5 megawatt laser right into his red grill. That probably fuck him
yes,
up too.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and unfortunately, Garth Knight is immediately on Michael's ass. Like, Kit gives him 5 seconds of warning.
Yeah.
He comes screaming up in this caddy, and he cuts Michael Knight off and takes him at gunpoint. And it's crazy. He's back in his sweet-ass driving suit with the buttons. And he goes to Michael and goes, Michael, you're the Abel to my Cain. We have so much in common. Names, faces, father, our future. And Michael's like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, I'm taking you back to Africa. And I thought he was going to offer an alliance. Mm. And I was so tickled that he's like, nah, I'm dragging you back to Africa and I'm throwing you in the same prison I rotted in. And I want to see what you do with that situation, boy.
I dig it.
Yeah. He's like planning Michael's ultimate ruin and he's going to take everything that he was taken from him. I love it.
Yes. Fun villain. Enjoying every second of it, too.
Michael Knight is helpless as he watches Garth load up the African revolutionaries.
Right.
And they
fully berate.
And they make for the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is the government agency that's keeping the Native Americans out of their burial lands. And
Jesus.
He smashes through the fence. Is it just me or does he look scared or unsure here?
Yeah, absolutely. No, he like winces. He's like, I don't know.
What?
This chain link.
It's a chain link.
Might...
Like, I buy yeah. this later when he crashes through the bunker, but what the fuck?
No, it's and they're all relieved when they see it. It's like, oh, thank God. But that's something I think my Honda Accord could possibly accomplish this feat.
Yeah, dude, you dumpstered kit. I think you'll be fine going through the chain link fence, all right?
Yeah.
So Red Bluff closes its blast doors, and Goliath just launches missile after missile to soften it up. By the way, if you're playing at home, it's a very fun game to keep track of the continuity between missiles launched and how many are still left in Goliath's reserve, because it'll be half empty, full, three quarters. It's a lot of fun. He makes one last uncertain face as he smashes through the blast doors. And this is actually a sweet sequence. Goliath comes screaming in, and he's got nozzles mounted all over, spewing green Smilex gas. Looks like the Joker's shit. And yep. Him and his African mercenaries pile out with gas masks and pacify anyone who's not been taken out by the gas. And they have total control, and they start stealing the missiles.
Yeah, it works. It's a at least there's a plan here, you know.
Yeah. And
it wasn't just a smash and grab. It's a smash and gas and grab.
Yeah, it's like I
which
said.
Sounds like a gas station.
I'm modestly impressed with the sophistication of this storytelling here. I mean, they
right.
A lot of it is just
what they're gonna do with the missiles.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And a lot of the complexity is just Kit did magic, but still.
Yes. And the U.S. government just kind of left the missiles lying around in there. Like, sure, it was in the bunker, but
and it's
maybe don't just leave them in the hangar.
It's not going to look good on a congressional hearing when you hear the Foundation of Law and Government gave you a warning less than 24 hours before this happened, too. Boy, there's going to be some question. This general is going to be busted down to an errand boy before the end of the week.
Heck yeah.
So they load up and they get back on and they're back off. And Michael, turns out he's got his own gambit. He's talking to his watch down low, implying that he set a trap.
Mm-hmm.
As Elizabeth and Kuna walk out, Kit comes by and knocks out the support strut that holds up the awning on their sweet little RV. Possibly the same RV that we saw Archangel using in Airwolf a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And it kind of like nets them, and he uses that opportunity to escape in Kit.
It's a perfect plan.
It is. Kit can now unlock Michael's handcuffs just by thinking about it.
Right. Another thing. Yeah. Like, he gets handcuffed out instantly.
Yeah.
Kit has become way powerful.
Yeah. And it's all with his mind. There's not like he held it up to a laser or something. It's just like
his
handcuffs glowed red. Yeah. It's some Jafar shit. His handcuffs glow red and they just break. So... oh my god. So Michael says, you know, I saw April rig up this super laser to your electromagnetic jiggler, and it scared the shit out of me. I want to pump all your juice through that and use it to punch a hole through Goliath. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention that earlier in the episode, Kit's been real pissed about how he got handled by Goliath, and he's been spending all of his willpower to try to figure out how to defeat him, and he's
right.
Found a single weakness, a single bolt that holds the trailer to the semi-tractor, and they think they can exploit it with the laser.
Yes, the linchpin of this plan is the linchpin.
Literal linchpin. Garth is happy to be running down Kit again. Michael Knight, he leans over while Kit's driving, and he's got his hands up to his elbows in the glove compartments. He's rewiring Kit. I don't know how any of this shit's happening.
It doesn't matter.
We get to the commercial shot, and it turns out that's just Kit baiting a rocket so that he can get a good position on Goliath's rear. And they do a three-part attack on Goliath. The first part, they use the laser to melt the doors shut so the warlord and the missile cannot get out.
I kind of love that. They lock the guys in.
It's actually something you could plausibly do with a powerful laser. So kudos.
Yeah.
The second is they're going to sever the connection between Goliath and his trailer so that he cannot tow it to the airport. And the third, he's going to instruct Kit to go head on in another suicide game of chicken and to target Goliath's rocket when he sees the white of the rocket tips.
Uh-huh. Like George Washington once said, Hold your laser fire until you see the whites of their rocket tips, men.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like that. And he, they blow it up, and it just fucks Goliath up. Like, it does. His cab fills with smoke. Garth has to bail out, choking. It's later going to explode from the critical damage it took to its rocket assembly. And Garth and Michael Knight engage in some of the clumsiest kung fu.
I love this. I was not expecting melee combat at all. Now we have David Hasselhoff fighting himself all of a sudden.
Every Hoff is now, kung fu fighting. And what's funny is, like, I remember praising him for throwing a very good scissor kick in the pilot. He can't really kick over his waist, and I think it's the tightness of the pants. They're just like throwing these hilariously ineffective kicks at each other, and Michael's able to get the upper hand and knock Garth out.
Yeah, he does a judo throw and one haymaker to the face, and he's TV style knocked out.
And Goliath fucking explodes. They wrap this episode up does. With a hurry. Yes. Goliath explodes, engulfed in flames. Michael Knight hugs Rita, looks down at the vanquished Garth, and bam, credits, baby. That was an episode. I fucking need to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, sorry, Hud. I just gotta had a little too much fun at the end there. Hey, let's call it a night.
Oh, I'm so glad we watched this. This is a great way to end the season. A phenomenal legacy for
Before they roll credits, though, they do make sure that Michael Knight has to give away all of his ill-begotten gambling money, so he's broke again.
True. He was already counting how many cheeseburgers he could buy with $100,000. I guess all that's left is to dream about season 3 and to record some feedback. Okay, feeny@baldmove.com is how you send feedback. I'm not sure why you would want to, because we're about to go on hiatus, but you know what? Yeah, no, send a bunch in, and we'll, I always read the old stuff that came in on the off season, and that'll get our juices flowing for our planning for next season. Ryan kicks us off and also finishes us off with the email. Love listening to your podcast. I had some thoughts on next season. Thank you, Ryan. You should do some 80s cop and private eye shows. Shows like Hunter, Riptide, Simon and Simon, Hardcastle McCormick, Matt Houston, Cagney and Lacey, Remington Steele, 21 Jump Street, Miami Vice, and of course, Manimal. Throw in the Equalizer to that list, too. I'm kind of intrigued by... My dad loved that old Equalizer film, and now, like, Denzel Washington's making a whole franchise out of it. I'm, like, intrigued. You know, I always like going back and watching my dad shows that my dad was a big fan of. You know, I'm like, do I get it?
I'm not familiar with the Equalizer at all. I apologize.
It's this old British guy, and he wasn't like a particular badass. He just drove this like really sweet car, and he wore like trench coats and leather gloves, and he shot people with like a little pistol.
I love this idea.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a hard ass, but every time I've seen a scene out of context scene, it just looks like this looks kind of ridiculous. But
okay, I don't know,
Denzel plays him as a real badass, and in all the Equalizer trailers I've seen. Ryan concludes, keep up the good work. Thanks, Ryan. We're going to try. this is going to pivot us to ideas for season 3, shows to watch, different concepts to try. We did pilots and best this season. We had a couple. We're talking offline. You suggested at some point, I can't remember when, we should check out soap operas. And I'm like,
right.
I would not mind. I would hate to devote a whole season to soap operas, because I feel like, you know, if you're into 80s action TV, that might not be up your alley. But I think we could find a concept that would work. Like, if we just picked a day, like threw a dart on, ordered a 1986 calendar, hung it up on the wall and threw a dart, and whatever day it lands on, check out like General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, All My Children. Do any of the episodes make sense? If you just parachute in the middle of a storyline.
Right.
You could also do, I get, maybe, I don't know. Because like, I think 80s action would get a lot of Gen X people involved. If you start doing like shit like Falcon's Crest and Dallas, I don't know if there's the same amount of nostalgia. You're like chasing
for
boomers
Dallas,
at that point.
They made a whole tabletop RPG of Dallas.
Are you shitting me?
A real
RPG or just like a table, like a Monopoly game?
No, they made a real RPG for Dallas.
Damn.
And apparently it's pretty good.
And I'm kind of in the middle. So I imagine there was probably some 14, 15 year old Gen Xers that might have been like actually watching that shit. Because I felt like I was always precocious. I was watching like Northern Exposure when I was like 12, 13. I started getting to like more adult television when I was like 11, 12, 13, you know, like I don't like watching cartoons anymore. So that's an idea. Oh. You had best and worst.
Best and worst. Yeah. Maybe similar to this season, except instead of doing the pilot and the best, we get some of the best episodes out there and maybe even revisit some of our old favorites. Like I would love to watch the second best MacGyver episode.
Yeah.
That could be fun. But then also the bottom of the list on IMDb. Yeah. Because
the
I do love...
worst.
And you know this about me, and I'm sure the listeners have figured it out by now, but just to reiterate it, I'm a hater. Like, I like I like hate watching, and I like talking about the things that I think are garbage.
You thrive on that, that negativity.
It's my comfort zone. It says a lot about me. Trust me, I've been through therapy about this, and it hasn't helped.
You love being a hater, you know?
I can hate on that therapist, but best and the worst might be a fun option, too.
Yeah, you could just, like, because I was like, well, we've already watched a lot of the best episodes of the television we watch, but it's like, yeah, if you go second, and there's a couple things where... There was two episodes equally highly ranked, and we just arbitrarily chose one, or we just went with the listener pick with Greatest American Hero. Yeah, that could work. I also think we could probably fill up a season of Knight Rider if we just went back and did like the all-time classics, like the Return of Car, Return of Garth, Return of Goliath, some of the like the first appearance of the Super Pursuit mode. If you know, you know.
Right.
There's just a shit ton of Knight, and it is a hoot every time we watch it.
I love Knight Rider, so I'm totally cool with that also.
Another idea we had was Clean Sweep. Feeny season 3 Clean Sweep, where we go back and watch Sweeps Week's episodes.
Uh-huh.
And if you're not familiar, there is because technology is primitive. People were using punch cards and like telegraphs back in the day. It was impractical, I guess, to determine how many households are watching all television all the time. So there was like, I think, a couple of weeks in both the summer and the winter where the networks would grab their eyeball numbers and ship it off to the advertisers. That's the only numbers that mattered. Those are called sweeps weeks. And it got to where the network would urge their writers and their producers to juice up the plot lines and the crazy shit to attract audiences for Sweeps Weeks. So those might not be the best or the worst, but like the craziest, most exploitative episodes.
Is Kit a vampire? Tune in this week. There's I guess Futurama did that, didn't they?
Oh, you know what? This is a completely off the cuff one. There used to be a phenomenon where there would be very special episodes, like on a very special episode of Family Ties. And as a kid, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Someone's getting addicted to drugs.
Someone's got AIDS.
Someone's getting a bad touch. Yeah. Someone got an incurable disease. A cousin is coming out as gay. Like, it was like, we could do very special episodes.
A very special season of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? That would be, actually, that's a really good one.
So Feeny comes from Boy versus World, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be a very special episode of Boy versus World. Probably
Topanga's
one a season.
Pregnant.
Oh, yes. Did she get pregnant? For
I
real?
Don't know. I have no idea.
That would be
man,
cool.
A very special season of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? That is. That is great. The problem is we've had like 5 great ideas right now. So,
I know. I'm writing them all down. Very special. The thing is like, was that more of a comedy? Was that a comedy thing, or did the action shit get into that too? Because I feel like it was mostly a comedy thing. Like on the very special episode of Growing Pains, Kurt Cameron's going to shoplift, or
he stole a Gideon Bible from the hotel he stayed at.
It's not stealing. They want you to take them, okay? You know? I feel like Gideons get real bummed out when they go and they're like, you know what, brothers? It's been a year since we've been to a hotel. There's no takers.
They're still
no
here.
Takers. All these spines completely intact, unbroken.
Man, but that would be fun to watch because we're talking about how we can't do comedy because comedy's not as fun to review. But comedy is deciding to dip their toe into melodrama could make for some great review bait.
Yes. And I'm thinking, I can already think of like, oh yeah, we'd have to do like the Different Strokes episode where the guy run the bike shop, molested kids.
Oh my God.
Gotta do the episode of Family Ties where Michael J. Fox's uncle, who was, I think Tom Hanks, was an alcoholic and was like drinking their vanilla extract out of the cabinet and all this like.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's some that would be and it's just like, how does it hold up?
Right.
Like, what was addiction seen? What did a sensitive portrayal of addiction look like in 1983, you know?
The question, how do we find these episodes? Or do we just outsource it to the listeners? Like
I feel like I can just sit and think about 7 on my own. But a very special episode of Family Ties.
This is my favorite name.
Alex? Wow. Part 1, while the rest of the Keaton family grieves. So this is Michael J. Fox's Alex Keaton.
Okay.
While the rest of the Keaton family grieves over the sudden death of Alex's childhood friend, Greg, Alex himself is acting strange, gradually being overcome by a volatile mixture of emotions that he futilely tries to hide. We learn that Greg was killed in a car crash while running an errand that Alex declined to help him with. What?
Yes.
Alex begins showing symptoms of survivor's guilt, admitting to Mallory that my life was saved out of smallness, out of a lack of generosity to a friend. Okay. He goes to therapy. All right. This would be a tightrope. It'd either be a tightrope act, or we're just like, you know what, fuck it, we're going to be Max Offensive.
Well, season 3 of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? I think we need to swing for the fences, dude. We got a runner in scoring position, and we can maybe like knock it out of the park with a very special. Like, I'm feeling introducing the podcast episode on a very special episode 2 of Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car with that voice, you know?
Yeah,
please hit
week.
The ejector seat if you don't mind.
Respectfully,
yes.
Gently, with dignity.
We're not even done
the ideas. I got 2 more. British Invasion. So this is your Fawlty Towers, your Blackadder,
have their own cheesy action TV too.
I only thought about the successful things that came over from Britain. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure they had a whole bunch of schlocky.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the British Knight Rider?
I don't know.
It's like an Austin Martin that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Had a green LED grill.
And an American voice.
It sounded like a Texan.
Yeah. Yeehaw. Whatever is. I'll say,
James, I don't think you should be there. I've calculated the odds of you doing that, and don't look good, boy.
I do declare, do not tell me the odds.
Yeah, I would have to really lean on, because I like Doctor Who, and I'm done. I can't think of another action show. that the BBC's put out in the 80s and early 90s, maybe. Then finally, we had remakes, reboots, and reunions. Go back and find all the television that we've covered. Like, Knight Riders had numerous reboots.
Yeah,
we could do a Baywatch because they had the show and then the movie. Dukes of Hazzard had reunion and a reboot movie in 2005. That would be interesting to compare and contrast. Any of those would be a fine season of television.
I agree.
In terms of rando, I'm going to add a bunch of these. In terms of rando episodes of television, we still have from our list Grizzly Adams, Incredible Hulk, Buck Rogers. I'd be very excited about Incredible Hulk and Buck Rogers. Fall Guy, Blue Thunder, Manimal, V, Chips, Baywatch, and then we're just adding to the board Hunter, Riptide, Simon and Simon, Hardcastle, and McCormick, which has a lot of quip. That's got a lot of quip history. Do you know quip, what I'm talking about, quips?
Like,
quit your pitchins?
Oh, no. I mean, yes, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the show good enough to pick them out from quip.
We've had it's a whole random, we start off with a random episode generator that just puts in all these episodes and mashes them up, and then we try to pitch what it's like, and Hardcastle McCormick comes up a lot. It's always like Hardcastle and Stalker, the Fat Man and McCormick, or so we're... I'm not familiar with that at all, but like Hardcastle, that's a hell of a name.
That is a hell of a name. Quit your pitch and find it on Premium Bald Move content. It is by far my favorite thing that you and Jim do. And second place is not even close. And I'm including this podcast I do with you.
It is a lot of fun. That's the it's the thing. Is like, man, I wish I could do one of those a month, you know, but like, oh my God, you have to kind of, you have to kind of save up the juice for it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's an easily squeezed juice and it's slow to replenish.
Gross.
That's going to do it for this exciting, I will call it a semi-special season of Mr. Feeny. Once again, it's been a lot of fun, Jay.
Yes.
I thank you for going on this journey with me.
Absolutely.
I mean, we finally had to learn how to play Dungeons & Dragons properly. I've been doing it very wrong, and it's nice to actually get straight with it.
I've been banned from the mini golf course.
You're right.
Formally trespassed.
Right. Sir, this is an insensitive portrayal of Middle Eastern cultures. You can't run around here.
Yeah. That part is required too, according to Gary Gygax.
We're going to be back at some undetermined point in the future do another season of Feeny. Feeny@baldmove.com if you got any other ideas you'd like for us to consider, or if you'd like to weigh in on which of these ideas you like the most. Yeah, democracy. Yeah.
Pokemon, go to the polls, folks.
Well, like I said, we'll be back. So, are you going to keep streaming and all that kind of stuff? And if people want to follow along, I know that we're going to continually collaborate on content from time to time, too. We got some stream ideas. Where do they find you on the internet, Jay?
Go to twitch.tv/blue_j_streams. And that is a great place to get some impromptu Aaron cameos from time to time, too. And we've been talking about... We've been talking about preparing our Warhammer 40,000 miniatures on stream at some point. So
hell yeah, paint stream.
If that doesn't get your slowly replenishing juices flowing, then I don't know what will.
No paint, no gaint. Is what I like to say.
I say all no paint, all taint. No breaks. Let's go. Clear eyes. I'm in a loop
diapers.
Here. Get me out of here.
All right, that's it. If you like to follow, if somehow you happened on this and you have no idea what Bald Move is, check out Bald Move. You can go to Pulp. Probably Pulp. Check out Bald Move Pulp first, knowing the Feeny crowd. If you like what we're doing over there, you can also check out Prestige. But the Pulp will keep you busy listening for a long time. Baldmove.com for all that stuff. Check out my man Jay at his channel.
Hell yeah.
Until next season. I'm Aaron.
I've been Jay McCain. And Kit, why don't you go ahead and, for one last time, give us a very special ejector seat. Oy, 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 oy. That's my somber ejector seat.